A story about food stamps and criminals.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When members of Congress come back from the Memorial Day break, they'll get to work on the Farm Bill again. One of the biggest pieces is the food stamp program, where last week the Senate quietly agreed to a small amendment with big implications, a proposal to deny food stamps to people convicted of certain crimes. From Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark reports.
Republican Senator David Vitter from Louisiana introduced the amendment after warning against what he called an entitlement mentality gone wild. He said Congress should take steps to eliminate food stamps for certain convicted criminals,
like violent rapists, pedophiles, and murderers.
Vitter says there's a misconception that there's already a ban like that in the law.
In fact, it's not. In fact, the only ban that exists is for drug felons.
But in fact, that ban against drug felons has been disastrous, say many anti-hunger activists, and they worry about widening it. Celia Cole is with the Texas Food Bank Network. She points to studies that show convicted felons who are denied food assistance once they're released have higher rates of HIV, higher rates of returning to crime, and prison.
When people can't afford food for themselves or their families, it undermines their ability to avoid making the same mistakes all over again.
Because African Americans have higher incarceration rates, the food stamp ban could especially hit those communities. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
A year and a half after Kodak filed for bankruptcy, there are big changes for another global brand from Rochester, New York. Word this morning that Valeant Pharmaceuticals of Quebec, Canada, will buy Bausch & Lomb of Rochester for $8.7 billion. Two guys from Germany, John Jacob Bausch and Henry Lomb, founded the company in 1853. It sold off its Ray-Ban sunglasses brand 14 years ago. There's a call in Europe for a more conciliatory approach when it comes to cheap solar panels coming in from China. European and some American manufacturers believe the solar systems are being sold for less than they cost to build. This provoked Europe's biggest ever investigation into what's called dumping. But now, after China's premier Li Keqiang paid a visit, the German government wants a negotiated settlement. Here's the BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin.
Mr. Li makes pretty well his first stop in the job, Berlin. That's how important this relationship is. And when he's here, he has a joint press conference with Chancellor Merkel and says, look, if you put tariffs on us, there's going to be a trade war. We will lose, but so will you.
So one approach to this beef that the Europeans have, also the Americans have with China, is to take them through the formal proceedings, the World Trade Organization, essentially a kind of trade court. This new posture is much more, let's sit down, guys, talk this over, see if we can come to some kind of deal. It's that type of more informal approach.
We all know that China manufactures more cheaply just because of the labor costs. Is that dumping? Well, the lawyers will have a feast on that one. So I think Chancellor Merkel is thinking, there are no winners in a trade war, so let's get out of this one before it happens. And one of the interesting things in Germany is that the Green Lobby are very fearful of a trade war because they think the result will just be that the price of solar panels will go up and fewer of them will be installed. So it is a very complicated issue.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
In early June, President Obama is set to hold a summit with China's president at publishing tycoon Walter Annenberg's old estate in Southern California.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Here's a fine mess when it comes to social media. Somebody stole reporter Jason Slotkin's online profile. He looked into it and discovered someone was making money off the theft. So let's let Slotkin pick up the story.
I have a somewhat uncommon last name. Not too long ago, I got curious and searched for other Slotkins on Twitter. My handle is at Jason Slotkin, and to my surprise, I found someone with the handle at Jason Slotkin 6. I showed my discovery to Lee Rainey, director of the Pew Center's Internet and American Life Project.
Describes himself as a writer, journalist, recovering hipster, and marketplace APM.
That's weird. That's the bio I wrote for my Twitter account, even the recovering hipster part. Turns out, at Jason Slotkin 6 is a clone knockoff of my account that has my bio, but a different photo, and it tweets things I would never even say. Paul Judge says my clone is the product of a growing web industry that creates fake Twitter identities and sells them to people looking to pad their list of followers.
They steal identities. They steal identities by the thousands so they can have these armies of fake accounts.
Judge oversees research for Barracuda Networks. He says batches of these fake Twitter accounts start at $5 and go up from there. The more expensive ones promise they won't get noticed and taken down by Twitter.
Because Twitter was catching those, and so the attackers have been trying harder and harder to make the accounts look more like real people. And now what they're doing is just cloning real people.
Building a clone army must be resource-intensive. Remember? There was an entire planet dedicated to it in that overwrought Star Wars prequel.
Begun. The Clone War has.
But a Twitter clone army is easy to build, says Max Nannis. He belongs to Pax Social, a group that conducts experiments with intricately coded Twitter bots. Nannis says my clone is probably a rudimentary program that even a novice could create with few resources.
You could literally have, you know, thousands of these Twitter accounts run off someone's laptop.
Nannis says the program is probably designed to tweet content pilfered from other users.
You can be relatively, you know, non sequitur or post random stuff on Twitter, and you could still kind of pass as a human.
But at least I still have more followers than @JasonSlotkin6. I'm @JasonSlotkin for Marketplace.
Recovering hipster, what is that? I guess it's someone who's just broken their Warby Parkers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.